This message is given in the name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen. 2 Sundays ago, we heard how Jesus stilled the storm and calmed a raging sea simply by rebuking them and telling them to be still. Last Sunday, we heard how Jesus rebuked a bunch of demons and thereby drove them out of a man whom they had possessed. Well, in today's gospel reading, we find more proof that Jesus is the eternal Son of God, God in human flesh. In today's gospel reading, we heard how 2 miracles that Jesus performed end up amazing the people. He heals an older woman and gives life to a 12-year-old girl who had died. Today's gospel reading has several important things to teach us about who Jesus is and about what it means that he will heal us. But sadly, today's gospel reading is also one of the most misunderstood portions of Holy Scripture. And sadly, some false teachers have used this text to support their evil errors and mislead many. With that said, let's examine today's gospel reading and we'll see how it actually applies to our lives today. Luke tells us that when Jesus returns to Galilee after having dealt with those demons in the region of the Gerasenes, a crowd welcomes him. You see, Jesus had performed many miracles in Galilee, so I'm not surprised that a crowd welcomed him. They wanted to see more miracles, and they especially wanted to benefit personally. Luke then informs us that a man named Jairus begs Jesus to come to his house because his only daughter, 12 years old, was dying. Well, I can't blame the guy. If my 12-year-old daughter was dying and there was no way to save her, and I heard that Jesus had the power to do that, I'd beg him to come to my house too. Well, Jesus then begins to follow Jairus to his home, and we're told that the whole crowd goes with them. In fact, Luke says that there were so many people surrounding Jesus that they almost crushed him. Now, in the midst of this chaotic scene, a woman with a bleeding disease of some sort sneaks up behind Jesus and touches the edge of his garment. Then Luke tells us that at that moment, she was immediately healed. Now, it's obvious this woman believed that Jesus could heal her, or she would not have even attempted what she did. But why did she merely touch the edge of his garment? In fact, in Matthew's gospel, we can read what this woman actually said to herself as she came up behind Jesus. According to Matthew's gospel, she said, "If only I touch his cloak, I will be healed." So why was she focused on touching the edge of Jesus' cloak? Well, some believe the answer is found in our Old Testament reading from Zechariah chapter 8, where the prophet Zechariah points ahead to a future time when Gentiles will seek the blessing of the one true God. And because they know that the Jews believe in the one true God, Zechariah says that 10 Gentiles will grab hold of one Jew by the hem of his garment and then say to him, "Let us go with you, because we have heard that God is with you." Based on that, some think this old woman in our gospel reading may have been a Gentile, which is entirely possible because Jesus was in Galilee, which was Gentile territory. Therefore, if she were a Gentile, she may have known about that passage from Zechariah and then applied it to her own situation. You see, Jesus was a Jew. And even more, she believed that he was the promised Messiah. So in light of that passage from Zechariah, she grabbed him by the hem of his garment because she believed that God was with Jesus and that he had the power to heal her. Well, that understood, after she was healed, Jesus asked this question, "Who touched me?" wait a minute. Doesn't the Bible teach that Jesus is God? Yes, it certainly does. That's what we've been learning the past couple Sundays. But doesn't God know all things? Yes, he certainly does. Then why did Jesus say, "Who touched me?" Some liberals and misguided individuals like to use this to suggest that Jesus really wasn't God. But please understand, Jesus didn't ask that question because he didn't know who touched him. Instead, he asked that question to give the woman an opportunity to admit that she was the one who had touched Jesus because she believed, really believed, that he was the Messiah. In fact, God did a similar thing in the Garden of Eden, if you recall. After Adam had eaten the forbidden fruit, he tried to hide from God, but God found Adam, and after he found Adam, he said to him, "Adam, where are you?" Now, God knew exactly where Adam was, but by asking the question, "Adam, where are you?" he was giving Adam a chance to come out of hiding and confess what he had done. In the same way, in today's gospel reading, Jesus says, "Who touched me?" in order to give this woman a chance to admit in public that she was the one who touched Jesus because she really did believe that he could heal her. However, as you know, she didn't come forward right away. Peter then adds this. He says, "Master, the people are crowding and pressing against you." To paraphrase Peter, he was saying, "Lord, who hasn't touched you?" Fair enough. Many people were bumping into Jesus. But only one of them had been healed, right? And Jesus knew who that one was, and he was giving her a chance to come forward and share her faith. Finally, the woman realizes that Jesus won't let her go unnoticed. So, in fear, she falls at Jesus' feet and explains before everyone why she had touched Jesus and how she had been instantly healed. After her confession, Jesus then says these amazing words to her, "Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace." Now, here's an example of a short statement by Jesus that has often been pulled out of context from the rest of Scripture and made to mean something that it simply doesn't mean. For instance, let me explain what Jesus does not mean by these words. He does not mean that if your faith is strong enough and you believe with all your heart that you can be healed no matter what. That's not what he means. Faith is not some sort of willpower that allows us to manipulate our circumstances or obligate God to give us what we want. But if it doesn't mean that, then what does Jesus mean when he says that her faith had healed her? Jesus means that he chose to heal her because he knew that she believed that he was the Son of God, her Lord and Savior. In other words, she was willing to trust Jesus whether or not he healed her, but she really did believe that he could heal her, and so, based on that possibility, she reached out for him. In fact, the Greek word that's translated healed in our reading is sozo, and that word actually means saved, rescued. And more often than not, it's used to speak of spiritual healing. In other words, people have been sozoed when God brings them to repentance and faith in Jesus. So very likely when Jesus looks at this woman and says, "Woman, your faith has healed you or saved you," he probably isn't even focusing on the physical healing, although he did physically heal her. What he's really focusing on is the fact that, "Woman, your sins are forgiven. You have reconciliation with God through faith in me. You have the hope of eternal life because of me. Your faith has saved you. Now, having said that, I want to make a very important point about faith in Jesus and how this faith is connected with physical healing. What we need to realize is that just because you believe that Jesus is your God and Savior, this does not mean that He will heal you of your physical diseases or injuries in this life. You see, part of what it means to have sincere faith in God is learning to pray, "Thy will be done." The fact is, Jesus did not always give physical healing to believers, nor did He always rescue them from their earthly trials. Remember our reading from 2 Corinthians? The Apostle Paul confessed that God allowed them to face horrible trials. And then Paul had this to say. He said, "This happened that we might not rely on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead." Did you hear that? Sometimes God allows us to face suffering in this life. Why? So that we will learn to trust Him all the more and look forward to the day when He will resurrect our bodies from the dust of the ground. You see, that is when we will receive full physical healing. You know, one thing you have to understand about those people whom Jesus healed back in the day, like the old woman in our gospel reading, for example, what you need to understand is that all those people whom Jesus healed, they either got sick again later, or they grew old like everybody else, and they eventually died. In other words, and you need to understand this, any physical healing that Jesus gives us in this life is incomplete and temporary. Therefore, the complete and the eternal healing of our bodies will take place not in this life, but on the final day when Jesus returns in glory and resurrects our bodies from the dust and the ground, sinless and glorified. But you only get there through faith in the cross, in what Jesus did for you there. With that understood, the point about the healing of this woman in our gospel reading is not that if you just trust in Jesus and believe really hard like that woman did, then you can be healed right now too. I have heard that preached and it drives me nuts. Because what does that say to all the people out there who haven't been healed and yet they still believe in Jesus? I recently did a funeral for Jane Ani. She died of cancer. Was her faith not strong enough to be healed? That's what the idiots who preach the text this way are suggesting. That's not what Jesus means at all. He's not saying if you just believe hard enough and have enough confidence in yourself, you'll be healed. No, what He's saying is, if you believe in me as your Lord and Savior, maybe I'll give you physical healing, maybe I won't. But it doesn't matter because you've already received the greatest healing possible. Your sins are forgiven. And you have the hope of the resurrection on the final day. Another thing we have to realize is this. Even though Jesus doesn't give us physical healing in this life all the time, we still have certain hope. That's the point of our gospel reading. The point of the healing of this woman in our gospel reading is that we should trust in Jesus just like she did. We should seek Him and reach out for Him and know that He can heal us, not just in this life, but ultimately for all eternity. Well, now we're ready to examine the rest of our gospel reading. While Jesus was still speaking to the old woman, someone came and said the following to Jairus. They said, "Your daughter's dead. Don't bother the teacher anymore." Well, Jesus heard this and He said to Jairus, "Don't be afraid. Just believe and she will be healed." You know what? Once again, if we pull these words out of context, It sounds like Jesus is saying, Jairus, if you just believe hard enough and sincerely enough, then I'll give you what you want. And some false teachers twist Jesus' words just that way. But that's not what Jesus means. Jesus is not saying that if your faith is strong enough, you can get anything from God. No. Instead, Jesus wants this man to believe that he already plans to give his daughter life again. Jesus has already decided he's going to give this daughter of this man life. And so rather than despairing, he simply wants this man to believe it. It's like he's saying, Jairus, everybody here thinks that it's over, she's dead, but I'm planning to go there and bring her back to life again. So don't despair, just believe. Jesus is trying to comfort him because of who Jesus is and what he's going to do. He's not telling the man, if you just have the inner fortitude, you can get what you want from me. That's not what Jesus is saying. Well, next, Jesus goes to Jairus' house, and the crowds follow. Most of them were mourning. Why? Because they heard that the little girl was dead. But notice what Jesus says to them. He says, stop wailing. She's not dead, but asleep. And did you notice what happens next? Luke says that they laughed at Jesus. They laughed at him and they mocked him because they knew that the little girl was dead. So what's going on here? Does Jesus mean that they were wrong about the girl being dead? They were misinformed and that the girl was really just taking a nap? No, that's not what Jesus means at all. You see, people back then knew when someone was dead, and they knew that this little girl really was most sincerely dead. But they didn't believe that Jesus could do anything about it. Why then, though, did Jesus say that she was asleep? Well, the reason is that the word sleep in that day was a euphemism among Christians to refer to the fact that when a Christian dies, even though the body is lifeless, asleep, so to speak, the spirit of that person goes to be with the Lord until the resurrection. And so what Jesus was actually saying was, the girl is dead, yes, but her spirit is with the Lord. Another reason Jesus said this is that there were some Jews in that day who believed that when you died, that was it. You ceased to exist, period. But Christians believe that when you die, your spirit goes to be with the Lord in a conscious way until your body is resurrected and your spirit is rejoined to your glorified body on the final day. That's what Jesus was trying to say when he told them that she was not dead but asleep. What he was saying was, yes, her body is not functioning, but her spirit is with the Father, and I'm going to bring her spirit back to her body, which I will be bringing back to life momentarily. Well, that's just what Jesus does. Jesus takes the little girl's hand, and he says to her, my child, get up. And then notice what Luke writes. Her spirit returned, and at once she stood up. Then Jesus orders them not to tell anyone what had happened. And who are the people he says this to? Just that inner crowd. Remember, it was just a few apostles and the mother and father who were in that room when Jesus brought that girl back to life. He tells them, don't tell anybody what I just did. Now, why keep this kind of miracle a secret? Couple reasons. One reason may be that most of the people in the crowd really didn't believe in Jesus anyway. Remember, they laughed at him. So Jesus knows they probably wouldn't believe the miracle anyway. They would probably think, Jesus was just fooling us. She was really asleep and now he's pretending that he worked a miracle. He probably knows this, so he says, why waste your breath telling them about it? Another reason is that Jesus did not want the crowds to focus on the miracle itself. Stop and think about it. If somebody brings a person back to life after they've been dead, That usually gets people's attention. But Jesus knew that there was the danger that they would focus only on the miracle and miss the real important thing. You see, later in Luke chapter 9, we can read how Jesus informs his disciples that he will eventually suffer and die on a cross, and then, 3 days later, rise from the dead. Jesus tells them this because he wants them to understand that the true healing he wants to give us is the forgiveness of sins made possible by his death for us, as well as eternal life made possible by his resurrection for us. But if we are focused only on the physical blessing that Jesus can give us here and now, then we're missing out on the true healing that Jesus wants to give us through his cross. Which explains why Peter says to Jesus, "No, Lord, that will never happen to you." In closing, please note my sermon title, "Just Believe and You Will Be Healed." I chose that sermon title because if I said that to most people in this culture, what they would assume I was saying was that, hey, if you just believe hard enough and sincerely enough, God will give you healing right here and now. But after hearing this sermon, I hope you know that that's not what I mean by this sermon title at all. So how do these words that Jesus said to Jairus, "Just believe and she will be healed," how do these words apply to you today? Well, first, you can certainly ask God to heal your physical problems or rescue from your earthly trials here and now. You can certainly do that. He has the power to do that, and maybe he will. But you must remember that Jesus came into this world to give you something much greater than incomplete and temporary earthly healing. Think about it. Even if Jesus does heal you of some physical problem right now, even if he does rescue you from some earthly difficulty right now, the fact is, down the road, you're going to end up sick again, somehow, some way. Down the road, you're going to end up having a difficulty again, somehow, some way. And guess what? Eventually, sooner or later, one way or another, whether we like it or not, we're all going to die. That's life, this side of heaven, in a broken world, cursed by our sin. And so if all that you're focused on is the incomplete and the temporary healing that Jesus can give you here and now, then you're missing out on a whole lot. My friends, here's how our sermon title applies to you today. Jesus wants you to realize that he is God and that he loved you so much that he died on the cross for you. Why? Because the greatest healing you need is the forgiveness of your sins. The greatest healing you need is being reconciled to God through Jesus. The greatest healing you need is the hope of the resurrection on the final day, when God will give you complete and eternal healing of your physical body. But you have hope in that only by faith in Jesus as your Savior here and now. So I say to you, don't be afraid. Just believe, and you will be healed. I'm not talking about here and now. I'm talking about the final day. In other words, what my sermon title is saying to you today is this: because of Jesus' death on the cross in your place of damnation, your sins are forgiven. You've been saved. And because of Jesus' resurrection, you can face death one day knowing that your body will be resurrected when he returns. On that day, your body will receive complete and eternal healing. God will do that for you. We have his word on it. So don't despair. Instead, believe. Jesus is your God and Savior, Yes, he cares about your earthly needs, and he provides for our earthly needs more abundantly than we often realize. But here's the important thing. Jesus forgives you, and on the final day, he will give you complete and eternal healing. So just believe, and you will be healed. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all our understanding, guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen.